Hi, I'm Thomas Petersen. Welcome to my podcast about monitoring equipment in music recording studios. This podcast will give you an insight in the different monitoring systems used in studios and the more technical aspects of the different systems. I will be giving audio examples of some of my explanations so that it will be easier for you to understand them. Most of my audio examples will be simulated using Pro Tools, since I don't have access to all the equipment I will be talking about. I will be talking about equipment and techniques used for monitoring sound, such as different types of amplifiers, speakers, headphones, room acoustics, and other relevant subjects. This podcast is meant for you and everyone out there interested in sound, so I'll try to keep the technical talk on a level so everyone can follow along. Welcome to my podcast. So what do we mean when we use the term monitoring equipment? Monitoring equipment is all the equipment that lets the sound engineer listen to the changes he's made in the mix. So basically, monitoring equipment is connected after the mixing console. A simple system from recording to playback would consist of a microphone, a mic preamp, a mixing console, and the monitoring equipment, amplifiers and speakers. It is very critical that this equipment does not alter or distort your original sound in any way. Otherwise, the sound engineer would not be able to know what he is adjusting, the sound of the mix or the sound of the equipment. There are several amplifier and speaker systems out there. In this podcast, I will try and give you some examples of what the different systems are like and hopefully give you the information to make you choose the right equipment for your own studio. But first, a short introduction explaining the basics of sound reproduction. Sound is a waveform signal that carries acoustic energy from one point to another. Sound is mainly transferred through air, but can also travel through liquid or solid material. Almost everything vibrating will produce a sound at a given frequency, for example a motor, a speaker or a guitar string. These vibrations will produce a difference in air pressure, causing the air to be compressed and rarefied in the given frequency of the vibrating device. And when they reach the eardrum will vibrate in a direct response to the fluctuations of pressure, making you hear the sound of the vibrating source. So basically, when the speaker goes in and out, your eardrums go in and out. Pretty simple. There are a few important things to know when we are talking about sound. For example, frequency, amplitude, and pitch. Frequency means the number of cycles per second, measured in hertz. For example, if a speaker goes in and out 50 times a second, you will have a frequency of 50 hertz. Amplitude is the height of the sound wave, or how loud it is. Pitch is the way our brain interprets the frequency of the emitted sound. The higher the frequency, the higher the pitch or tone. The lower the frequency, the lower the pitch or tone. Analog versus digital sound. First of all sound is analog. As mentioned before, sound is perceived by differences in sound pressure vibrating our eardrums. So every sound source needs to have an analog output for us to hear it through speakers. But if we compare an analog system to a digital system, we will see that there's a lot of difference. Personally, when I want to listen to music, I prefer the sound of an analog system. To me, the sound is more realistic and dynamic. But still, I could not live without the features of the digital world. Almost no one uses analog recording systems anymore, since digital media and equipment are getting better and better. You don't have the same options in analog systems when it comes to plugins and editing. This is much easier done using up-to-date digital workstations like Pro Tools or Cubase. Amplifier. We will start by looking at the first thing in the monitoring audio chain, the amplifier. Amplifiers come in many various designs and every design has its own characteristics. For many years, all studio equipment was entirely based on vacuum tubes or valves. Due to its high level of added distortion, the problem was that the sound coming out of the system was very different compared to the sound coming in. I'm aching for a kiss. The solution to this was a technology called solid state, or transistor-based equipment. Solid state provided a cleaner, more undistorted sound, which resulted in a more correct representation of the original sound. Also, solid state equipment was more reliable, didn't produce as much heat, and could be made smaller. This technology is still used today in many applications. Tubes are also still used in many amplifiers, microphones and especially guitar amps, since their way of distorting the signal is very pleasing to our ears. When a tube is driven into overload, the clipping is a soft and wide roll-off, giving it a rich and pleasant sound. Where the clipping of a transistor is very hard and square-like, giving a harsh and crunchy sound. Also, the tubes produce ear-friendly even-order harmonics, where transistors produce odd-order harmonics, making them sound less pleasant when distorting. Tubes will distort or alter the signal more than solid state, even when they are not driven into overload. This is why most studio equipment today is based on solid state. Speakers. In order for us to hear what is coming out of the system, we need loudspeakers. Loudspeakers are transducers which generate sound in response to an electrical signal. Actually, a loudspeaker is the exact opposite to a microphone. These can be full-range, two-way, three-way, and sometimes four-way speakers. Loudspeakers are the most important piece of equipment in the monitoring system, since it is the only reference our ears have to what's going on in the mix. Hence the word reference monitors. Reference monitors or studio monitors are loudspeakers specifically designed to be used professionally in audio productions. Studio monitors typically have a very flat or linear frequency response, which means that all frequencies are played at the same level without phase shifting. This results in a very accurate and uncolored representation of the source material. It is important that the speakers are able to play the whole frequency range with correct timing and dynamics. It must be able to go from quiet to loud almost instantly. Otherwise, the impulse response will be wrong and you will lose the timing and rhythm of the music. It is also important that the speaker is able to give a realistic representation of all instruments and must also sound the same at all volume levels. If the loudspeaker added or removed anything from the original signal, you would have the same problem as with the other equipment. You would not be able to know whether you are listening to faults in the mix or faults in the speakers. In most music studios, you will usually find two or three different pairs of monitors. The truth is that almost 95% of the people out there will be listening to your mix on portable players in their car or on their laptop. This is of course an outrage, but it's true. That is why you use different monitors, to simulate these different systems and to make sure your mix sounds good on all of them. Studio monitors pretty much fall in three categories: mid and far field monitors, near field monitors, and headphones.
Mid and far field monitors.
Mid and far field monitors are usually the biggest and most expensive ones. They are also called main monitors. These mainly are used in large studios as they need a lot of room with good acoustic treatment to perform their best. This is why these are mainly seen in large control rooms of commercial studios, since both the speakers and the acoustic treatment of the studio cost a lot of money. The placement of these speakers is usually mounted in the wall like the Genelec 1036 or they're mounted on floor stands like the ATC SCM 150 Pro. Main monitors are usually fitted with a bass reflex port, which acts as a tuned resonator to boost the lower octaves. Many would say that these big and expensive monitors are only put in the studio to impress customers. But if you, for example, are mixing a full-size symphonic orchestra or a live rock concert and want to experience the full and natural dynamic range of these recordings, big and powerful speakers are a must. Far-field monitors are designed to provide the highest quality of sound reproduction, but since only 1% of all people would have similar speaker systems in their home, mixing is rarely done on these kind of monitors.
Near-field monitors.
Near-field monitors are the most common ones, and almost all mixing in music studios are done on these. Near-field monitors are designed to be placed up to 1.5 meters away, which makes it less dependent on room acoustics, since the sound from the speaker will reach your ears before reflecting on walls and other surfaces. This makes it very useful in both smaller and larger studios, as well as home recording studios with no acoustical treatments. Typically, near-field monitors are small two-way active constructions, which are easy to place on a shelf or a wall behind the console. These can easily be moved around, making it much more flexible for testing different room acoustics or placements, which also makes it easy to get a good sweet spot right in the middle of the speakers. It is important to place these speakers a bit back of the console to minimize early reflections. Because near-field monitors are usually small speakers with no bass reflex port, they are not able to play the bottom octaves. This is why some add subwoofers to their system. The adjustment and placement of this subwoofer is extremely important in order to get the system to sound as one. If not set up correctly, I would recommend staying away from sub-bass systems, since they probably would do more damage than good. Most studios have a good pair of two-way near-field monitors for critical listening and one or two bad-sounding near-fields for simulating bad-sounding equipment, as mentioned before. Some of the most popular speakers for this kind of use is the Yamaha NS10s and the Auratone Cubes. The NS10s have been very popular for many years, and it is difficult to find a music studio which doesn't have them or have had them. Some people would say that if it sounds good on NS10s, it will sound good on anything. If there is anything wrong in the mix, they will tell you, especially in the mid-range, since they don't have the normal 3 dB crossover dip around 3 kHz. In my opinion, these speakers sound really bad, and I would not enjoy using them in my home stereo. But for monitoring, they can be a very good supplement to your high-quality speakers. If you can get your mix to sound good on good speakers as well as a pair of NS10s, then it will probably sound good on almost everything else. Here's an example of far-field monitors versus near-field monitors.
I'm feeling so bad.
Mid and far-field monitors.
Lord, it feels so good.
Near-field monitors.
I'm just wallowing low.
Headphones.
Headphones are an important part of monitoring equipment since they provide different aspects compared to speakers. For studio monitoring or field monitoring, it is important to use closed headphones since they provide better acoustical insulation. The advantages of using headphones in studios are that you will be more able to hear subtle changes in the mix, you will be totally independent of room acoustics, and they provide a good reference to the sound people are getting out of their iPods or mobile phones. The disadvantages are that you will get an unnatural wide sound image, which makes panning more unnatural. And because you don't have the interaction of room acoustics, you will probably use more artificial reverberation in your mix. A great disadvantage with headphones is the increased possibility for causing damage to your hearing. Continuous listening for over an hour and 15 minutes can actually cause hearing loss. So be careful with headphones so that you won't damage your ears. I would always recommend using speakers for monitoring, but headphones can be a very good supplement to the monitoring system.
Acoustics.
If your studio doesn't have proper acoustics, you will end up having problems with reflections and standing waves. Especially when using far-field monitors, it's very important to treat your room with absorbing and diffusing surfaces so you don't get any alteration of the sound. It varies from room to room, but a good place to start is in the corners and on any parallel surface. Bass tends to build up in the corners of the room. To absorb this, you'll have to use some bass traps, which are usually large, thick sound baffles made from semi-rigid fiberglass cores. Large armchairs or couches can also be very good to absorb low-frequency waves. The high frequency also needs to be absorbed to get rid of unwanted reverberation. This can be done with large curtains or carpet floors. Also, making sure that there are no corners or parallel surfaces is a good way of getting rid of standing waves. Your studio must be treated acoustically in order to make you hear what's going on in the recording and not in the room. Also, keep in mind that if you invite the entire band to listen to the mix, your room acoustics will change dramatically. One of the best absorbers in the world is the human body.
Listening to systems, outro.
So now that we have gotten all the technical stuff out of the way, it's time for you to choose your monitoring equipment. The easiest solution is to get a good pair of active speakers. They are often very easy to set up and they can be connected directly to your console or audio interface. Personally, I would always recommend getting a good powerful and clean sounding amplifier and a pair of passive speakers. All amplifiers have their own characteristics. By choosing a standalone amp, you will have more freedom to find a combination that suits your preferences. I would always recommend getting a pair of speakers intended for studio use, since hi-fi speakers will have a tendency to color the sound to make it more pleasing. This is not what you're after. You want to go for the flat, linear response. When listening to speakers, it is important first of all to have rested ears. This will enhance your perception. Make sure you get a good listening environment, like a dedicated listening room or a music studio where you can have some privacy for a while and concentrate on listening. And don't use a laptop or portable player to play the audio. Use a high-quality analog or digital source like a CD player or an external audio interface. Otherwise, if some part of the sound is unsatisfactory, you won't know if it's the speaker or the source that's making the problem. Try different types of music and material, such as rock, electronic, classical, speech, or sound effects. For example, with speech, the male voice can be a good test to reveal if a loudspeaker sounds boomy or boxy. There are many techniques to use when listening to speakers. It's always good to ask yourself, does this sound like the real thing? A good music system adds or removes nothing from the original signal. It just passes it on. This basically concludes this podcast episode. I hope I have provided you with enough information for you to feel confident about choosing your future monitoring equipment. This is Thomas Peterson saying thank you for listening.